This morning we are on week three of our four-week study through the book of Esther. If you have your Bible with you this morning, if you can take it and turn to Esther chapter 5, we'll be looking at there here in just a moment. As we continue the study through Esther, let's just take a moment and just kind of briefly summarize where we are. Some of you have been through the study with us and you know exactly where we are. Some maybe have missed a little bit, so let's kind of bring up to speed here. The Jews, they are beginning to go home after 70 years of Babylonian captivity, but there is still a large segment of the Jews that are in Persia. Persia is ruled by King Xerxes, not really a nice ruler. And at the end of a drunken celebration, he calls his queen, Queen Vashti, to come and to put her on display, and Queen Vashti refuses to do that. And so Xerxes has her banished, removed as queen, and he seeks to find a new queen. In the providence of God and against odds, a young Jewish girl named Esther becomes queen. And she is chosen to be queen, and this becomes a matter of life and death for the Jewish people, having her there at that time. We have Haman. Haman is a ruler, he's a leader in King Xerxes' government, and he has convinced the king to have the Jews slaughtered. At the time, there was letters that go out, and Esther says in the book that we read, the letters were sent out by couriers into the king's providence to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, and one day on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. So Jews all over the empire, they're devastated when they hear this terrible news. But living in isolation in the queen's house, Esther doesn't know what's happening, and she's not sure, not understanding the problem that's happening here, until Mordecai, her cousin, Mordecai, who had adopted her, delivers a message and tells Esther about the persecution that is coming. So communicating through messengers, she learns of this decree, and she's persuaded to risk her own life to plead for her people. The key passage in Esther that we've read the first couple weeks is Esther chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. And let's read that passage just kind of again together. It's kind of a grasp of what is happening here in Esther chapter 4, verse 10. It says, Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. They related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. So this morning we're going to look at the power of one. One person, one moment, one act of obedience. See, I believe that God can use us if we're willing. If we're willing to be used, if we're willing to seize an opportunity, and if we're willing to be obedient to him. And that's where Esther was in this story that we're reading here today. She's at a place right now where she sees that she has the opportunity to be the one. And there's a moment where she comes and she has to make a decision whether she's going to follow through and do what she believes God has her to do and to be obedient. In Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, let's read together as Esther plans a banquet and she comes before the king. It says, now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. When the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter which was in his hand. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said to her, what is troubling you, Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even at half the kingdom it shall be given to you. Esther said, if it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly that we may do as Esther desires. So the king and Haman came to the banquet which Esther had prepared. As they drank their wine at the banquet, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? And it shall be granted to you. What is your request? Even half the kingdom it shall be done." So Esther replied, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and do what I request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet which I prepared for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king says." One person. We often ask ourselves the question, what can one person do? Well, the answer is that one person can do what they're willing to do. We are asked to be obedient, and God requires obedience out of us. And sometimes we are results-driven, and we want to see what's going to happen or what are the results of what we do. And we need to understand that we are only responsible for obedience. The results aren't ours. We're not responsible for the results. The results belong to God. We are asked to be obedient. When Mordecai pleads with Esther to speak to the king, if you remember, her response was, I can't do that. She responds in trepidation. That's not something that I should do. That's not something that I can do. Appearing before the king uninvited, that brought her death. That was a death penalty, and she had that possibility facing her. Oftentimes, when we're asked to do something, we look at all the reasons why we can't do it. The excuses as to why we can't serve, we can't go, we can't do, and the excuses are many for us. And we make those excuses and we have them. And in church words, we like to use the word comfort zone, right? I don't want to do that. It's outside of my comfort zone. Well, for Esther, I'm sure facing death wasn't exactly inside of her comfort zone. But it's something that she was willing and committed to go do, to step outside, to put her life on the line, to do what God would have her to do. So she goes to the king, and we read in verses 1 and 2, it says, Now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood at the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance of the palace. When the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight, and the king extended to Esther the golden scepter which was in his hand. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. So as strange as it may seem to us, Esther here facing the death penalty for appearing before the king. And it says when she came before the king that she found favor in his sight. I don't think it's coincidence. I don't think it's an accident that Esther comes at this point and she finds favor in the king's sight after spending 3 days fasting and praying. After the Jews spend 3 days in fasting and praying. After her and her maidens spend time fasting and praying. When this stuff happens, then she goes and then she finds favor in the sight of the king. I believe that there's no coincidence in that this was a result of her prayer. She found favor because she was willing to go. She found favor in the king's sight because she was willing to go to where the king was. What does God have for us that we miss because we're not willing to take the time to go? We're not willing to go where God would lead us, and so we miss out on what God has. Here, Esther stands before the king. I think about my life, and I think of things that happened as God orchestrated things in my life, and those times when God asked me to do something that I would have missed out on what he would have for me if I didn't go. I remember being a college student, and I was involved in a church, a good church, and I loved my church, and we had a great college Sunday school class, and I had good friends that went there, and there was an opportunity for this little mission church 20 miles outside of town that had no college students. And one of my friends was going to go. They asked for 2 college students to come and help. And she says, "Ed, you should go with me." And I said, "Why? Why should I go to that little church in the middle of nowhere when I'm happy where I am?" And I began to pray, and I felt like God wanted me to go. And it was at that church that I started to call it a ministry. And it was that church that gave me opportunities. And it was that church where I began to do student ministry. And God shaped who I was because I had decided to go. An opportunity to go. In my life, I think about missions, and if you know me, you know my passion for missions and going to serve in different places and all around the world and how much I love to do that. But if you know me about 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. I didn't have a vision for missions. My idea of international missions was somebody else should go do that. That's for somebody else. I'll pray about it, and I'm busy. I have stuff to do right here, and I don't need to go. And there was an opportunity to go to Colombia, South America, and I was asked to go specifically, "Can you go?" And I said no. It didn't work out. Timing wasn't right, and I said I couldn't go. And then 9/11 happened. And when 9/11 happened, the trip was postponed. And so when it came back, they called me again and said, "Hey, the trip is postponed. Can you go now?" I looked at Rebecca and I said, "Well, I guess now I don't have an excuse. I have to go." And I went, and God began to change my whole view of what God does around our world. my whole vision of God working. I say this and I believe it. I'm a better pastor here because I go there. And I really believe that with all my heart because I went. You see, God has something for us if we're willing to go, and we have to go. What difference we can make if we just realize our potential, if we realize what we have to offer, if we realize that we're created by God to be used by Him. And we're talking about the celebration of sanctity of human life, and we talk about true care and saving the lives of the unborn. But we save the lives of the unborn because these are children created by God for a purpose. And those of us that are sitting in this room, we're created by God for a purpose. And God has a reason for us being here, and He has a plan for us, and He desires to use us. And we need to understand how valuable we are to Him, how valuable we are to God, and that God has a desire to work into our lives, that we are capable, and that God can use us. You know, maybe we'll never change the world. Maybe the things that we do won't have the great impact that it had here in Esther, but it's going to have an impact on those that we serve. It's going to have an impact on those that we minister to and those that we have contact with. See, anybody can be the one. You can be the one. I can be the one that makes a difference in those around us. You know, it's amazing to be in a position to be used by God. It's a great place to be, but far too often we don't allow ourselves to be used because we aren't willing to put ourselves in a position to be used by Him, to put ourselves in the right place to be used by Him. We need to be involved. We need to get involved in ministry and get involved in serving people and step away from the comfortable places and maybe just go do something. Be willing to be the one. One person and one moment. How relieved Esther must have been as she comes before the king and the king extends the scepter and grants her a pardon as she comes at that moment. How foolish she would have been to come before the king and to have the scepter given to her, and she says, you know what? Maybe this isn't the right time. Maybe I shouldn't go do this. Now, how foolish it would have been for her to reject that pardon. She was allowed to come before the king, and she had to take advantage of the opportunity she had to be there. And when she receives the pardon from the king, she receives life. Right? This was a life and death decision, and she receives life, and the king not just gives her life, but he says to her, I will give you any request that you have, even to half my kingdom, whatever you have, whatever I have, I will give to you. And he extends this to her, the king willing to grant her whatever she asked. You know, we have a God who invites us to come before Him, and we have a God who invites us and pardons us. We can come before Him, and He gives us forgiveness of sin, and He pardons us. And we have a God who says, I'm not too busy. You come and you ask of me whatever you want. You come and you come to me. I am here for you. I have a God who says, I'm willing to listen to you. And we have a God who gives us opportunity to be involved and used by Him. And just like Esther, coming before the king, taking advantage of the opportunity given to her, we need to come before our God and take advantage of the opportunity He gives to us. God gives us important lessons here from this pardon. We have to take advantage of the opportunity God gives. We can't miss out. Why do we miss out on what God has? Well, sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we're too worried. Sometimes we're spending too much time complaining that we don't even see what God is doing. Sometimes we're just too lazy to even notice that God is working, and we don't see God doing things around us. Sometimes I think we pray for opportunities with our eyes closed. Sometimes I think we pray with a closed heart and a closed mind. And we pray and we lift these requests up, but we're not really willing to be the answer to the prayer. God, if you could move in that area and use somebody else, just don't bother me. I'll just sit here and pray about it. And as long as I'm praying about it, we're doing our job, but we're praying with a closed eyes and a closed heart and a closed mind. Are we willing to be the answer to those prayers? Are we willing to use the opportunities to be used by God? Are you willing to take advantage of the moment? And then notice Esther's plan. It's kind of an unexpected plan. She comes before the king, and she's given this request, and he says, I'll give you whatever you want. Look what she says in the request. She says, if it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther desires. So the king and Haman came to the banquet which Esther prepared, and the king drank their wine, and says, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even a half the kingdom, it shall be done. So Esther replies, my petition, my request is, If I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and to do what is requested, I bring King and Haman to the banquet which I have prepared for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king says." I wonder why Esther put it off till tomorrow. Why did she delay? Was she having second thoughts? Was she afraid of what was going to happen? Did she feel that it may be after looking at the king that it wasn't the right time for the king to hear this news? You know, as you read throughout the story of Esther, this delay, it raises tension in the story. It makes for a really, really good story. But I don't think any of these were the reasons that Esther waited the next day. See, I think it was strategic. I think it was a strategic step. John Gill says that Esther delayed her request partly in hope of increasing his affection to her and partly prepare him to expect an important request. And this makes sense to me. But it's not what I would have expected. It's not what most people would have done. And I guarantee you it's not what I would have done. If I had come before the king, and this was the situation that I was in, and the king says, "I will give you whatever you want in this," I wouldn't have waited 2 seconds before I would have said, "Kill Haman. That's what I want. Give me anything you want. Get rid of him. This is his plan. Take care of it. And let's move on." That's what I would have done. I wouldn't have waited any time at all. Take care of it. So why did Esther wait? Where did she get her plan? I got to guess. I'm guessing that her plan came from God. I'm guessing that as she spent those 3 days in fasting and prayer, that God spoke to her heart and God began to unveil a plan that he had. And this was God's plan. This was her answer to prayer as she began fasting. And how crazy of an idea it is. What an odd concept. Pray, listen, and then obey what God tells you. What a weird concept. But that's what Esther did here. She prayed and she listened and she moved how God asked her to move. God's plans are sometimes so unexpected for us. Isaiah 55 tells us that God's ways aren't our ways, and God's plan aren't often our plans, but we need to follow his plans. Seize the moment. Be the one, seize the moment, and then act in obedience. Our acts of obedience don't have to be monumental to the world. They can be small. They can seem insignificant. They can be personal. They have to be daily. Every act of obedience matters. Esther, before taking action, she asked Mordecai and the people to go and to fast and pray. And she asked her maidens to do this as well. And then she becomes one, but not just the one. She becomes one among many. She becomes one among many who are serving, and their strength in others. See, it's all about obedience. And all these different people are obedient in the plan. And they all become part of God's plan with their obedience. And every one of these people, even the ones aren't mentioned, are used by God and obedient as they pray together. As we look at the idea of obedience, we need to understand the importance of acting. Esther had asked everyone to pray and fast for 3 days, and so they did that. When they got hungry and they got thirsty, they remembered to pray, and they did that. And they were using the prayer to seek after God. And we need to be careful as we look at action that we aren't people who misuse prayer. See, many times throughout the years, I've heard people use prayer as an excuse not to act. I need you, can you do something? Well, let me pray about it. And we use prayer as a stall tactic, right? I'm going to pray about it. And sometimes I want to look at somebody and say, "Look, you don't have to pray about that because the Bible already says you should do it, so just go do it." All right, I want to say that, but we can't use it as a stall tactic. So we can't use it as something where we sit there and we pray so that we don't have to do anything else. Okay, I'm just going to pray, but that's all I'm going to do, and I don't have to do anything else because I'm praying. We need to be people who pray. But we need to be people who pray and then act. And when God tells us to do something, the time for praying is done and the time for moving is happening. Right? You keep praying as you go, but there comes a time when our prayers have to become actions and we have to go. See, because if we're not careful, then we can talk ourselves out of it. We can pray ourselves out of doing what we know God would have us to do. Esther here, her life is on the line, and I'm sure that it was hard for her to walk into the king and to do what she knew that she had to do, to go and announce. But even more challenging to figure out maybe how she was going to discuss this with the king and exactly what she was going to say. So after her time of prayer, then she comes a time where she went and she did something. It came time for her to act. Pray, seek God, and then proceed with confidence. Proceed with confidence. Oftentimes I converse with people and I talk to them about what God would have for them. And I say, "Look, pray. seek God, seek advice from godly people. And when you know that God is leading you, then you need to go do it. And do it with confidence. Don't second guess yourself. Don't sit there and question why. Don't look back, but proceed with confidence and move forward as long as you know that's what God is having you do until God changes your direction. But we need to act boldly, but do it with patience. It's kind of an odd thing. But after Esther had the courage to go to the king and is welcomed by the king, she doesn't just jump right in. Remember, timing here is everything. Although I would have stormed in and made demands of the king, that probably wasn't the best approach. And Esther here is patient, and she waits and she invites them to not just one banquet, but to two banquets. See, we need to be attentive to the Holy Spirit and to listen to the Spirit. We need to spend time and think before we say, not just start spewing stuff off all over the place and saying things. We need to take time to really stop and listen. And we need to let things work in God's timing. Be patient. See, the results may not come as fast as we want. Ministry may not happen as fast as we want. We may get into something and say, why isn't things happening quicker? I don't understand why God is moving so slow. Well, God's moving in God's timing. And we need to be patient and wait on the Lord and to wait on his timing. See, acting with patience, that's not an easy thing to do. Being patient is a very, very difficult thing for me to do. I don't even like the word patience. I wish it wasn't even vocabulary. I'm not a patient person. But we need to be patient. Remember, we're in it for the long haul. We're in ministry for the long haul. We don't give up. We persevere. We work hard. And we have to have a mindset that thinks long term, not just thinks for the immediate. And as we act, we also have to learn to ignore. Ignore what? Ignore people like Haman. Haman is talking as much as he can. Haman goes back and he brags about the fact that, hey, I've been invited to the palace and I've been invited to have a banquet. The queen didn't invite anybody else, but he invited me and the king and how great I am because I have been invited. And he goes and he's still talking about exterminating the Jews and he's talking about his hatred for Mordecai. And he goes to his friends and his wife and they have these conversations and his friends and his wife say, well, why don't you go build these gallows and you can hang Mordecai from the gallows, and Haman is having this. And so who ignore people like that? You see, we have to be careful that we don't let the enemy distract us. There are people around us that are always willing to talk. There are people around us that are willing to give us advice. And there are people around us that are willing to tell us that whatever we're doing following Jesus is crazy and dumb, and you shouldn't do it. When I moved to Wyoming 22 years ago, people told me I was crazy for moving to Wyoming. Why would you want to go there? There's nobody there. There aren't people. Why would you want to go there? And I had trusted advisors tell me, you shouldn't move to Wyoming. I don't know why you want to do that. And I said, that's what God wants us to do. And when our house didn't sell after a couple years, I had people tell me, well, that's God's sign to you. You need to move back home. And God, if God wanted you to be there, your house would have sold. You still have that house. Come back. And we didn't do that. And eventually our house did sell. And obviously this is where God wanted me to be. You have those people in our lives. When I went on my first mission trip, there were people telling me how I was dumb for going. Why would you go to Columbia? It's dangerous there. And we have those voices, and you hear them. As God asks you to move, you hear those voices. Those of you who go on international trips, you may have heard that. You have families say, why would you do that? Why would you leave your children and go there? God wouldn't have you do that. And you hear those voices that say, you can't teach that Sunday school class. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough to offer. You can't serve there. God can't use you. And you have these voices all around you. Sometimes they're internal. And we have to learn to ignore those voices. To ignore those things and say, God, I'm going to be obedient to you, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to listen to you only. See, Esther's timing was perfect because she was on God's time. And God's time is always perfect. See, it's not about if we're willing to be the one. It's about if we're willing to be one. If we're willing to be one among many. Are we willing to be one among many who are praying for the redemption of lost people? Are we willing to be one among many who share their faith with others? Are we willing to be the one among many who are involved in our church and doing ministry? And there's so many people doing ministry. Are we willing to be one among the many? Are we willing to be one who is serving God? Will you be one? I look around this room and I look around people that I talk with and I see people that are on all stages of their walk with Christ. And I see potential of how people can be used by God. And as we're here this morning, there are people here this morning that are being used by God and they're serving. And there are people here this morning that maybe they're struggling with how to be used by God and what they're doing. And they need to learn to step out in faith. And we have people of all places here this morning. And we're seeing God says to you, will you seize the moment? Will you be willing to be the one to step out and commit to following him and doing what God has called you to do? Are you willing? There's one moment. Today can be one of those moments. In our lives, we think about those moments. Today could be the moment today that you say, I'm going to renew my walk with Him. Today is going to be the moment I'm going to say I'm ready to step out. I'm ready to do what God has called me to do. Let today be the moment. Be one person and seize the moment and act in obedience. One act of obedience. This morning, will you say, I'm willing to be obedient to whatever Jesus would have for me. Wherever you call, I'll go. Whatever you say, I'll do. Wherever you go, I will follow. Are you ready to say this morning, I'm ready to obey you? As we've looked through the last few weeks of the book of Esther, and as we look through the study, consider Esther. Consider the queen who is sitting here in a moment of decision in her life and the decisions that she made to be used by God, and ask yourselves the question, are we too willing to make decisions to be used by God? I don't know what God has for you, but listen to His voice and respond as He leads you.